This is a song due to all of the assembled devotees. Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda, on the day when the sun will begin its movement in the northern direction, I will leave Navadvip to accept sannyas. Near Katwa, in the village of Indrani, is the ashram of Keshav Bharati Maharaj. I want you to confidentially tell just 5 of my associates, Chandrasekhar, Mukunda, and yourself should meet me in Kantak Nagar. Although Lord Chaitanya shared his desire to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he completely covered from the minds and the hearts of all the devotees the reality that he was going to leave Navadvip by engaging them in blissful Harinam Sankirtan. We have recently heard how Lord Chaitanya shared his mind, expressed very strongly his desire to his devotees. That for the sake of the most fallen people who are committing offenses against me, who are committing offenses against Vaishnavas, and for those people who are living in distant places, I must become a sannyasi. It was a sacrifice of compassion. And we have heard how they all reacted. Their hearts were broken. It would have been impossible for the Lord to leave unless he hid that truth from their minds. The Brijabasis, they had some warning that Akrura was going to take Krishna and Balaram out of Brajbhumi to Mathura. But of course, it was only one night's warning. And he was supposed to return the next day, or in just a few days. He wasn't taking any vows to be away from his family. But still, the thought of him leaving was so utterly devastating. The gopas were stunned, weeping, crying. Yashoda Mai and Nanda, well, Nanda was going with him. But Yashoda Mai was so much worried, what if he doesn't come back? He will be out. It would be the first time in Krishna's life since the first day he appeared that he wouldn't be fed by Mother Yashoda. The first time that she would not be putting him to bed at night and singing beautiful songs for him. It was impossible. And as far as the gopis, they were crying all night and laying their bodies in front of the wheels of the chariot of Akrura. Krishna had to somehow or other try to pacify them, otherwise it would be impossible to leave. Please understand, the devotees in Navadvipa were those same gopas and gopis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. The same love is there. He wasn't just going for a wrestling match with the promise of coming back in a few days. Lord Chaitanya was going to take sannyas, which means leaving his family forever, which means leaving residence in Navadvip forever. How could he have left? He had to do it. He had to perform such blissful, incredibly love-wrenching kirtans. And he himself was so especially ecstatic in those kirtans. Throughout the day, when the devotees saw his happiness and chanted the holy names of the Lord with him, that happiness completely covered up every other thought. Although somewhere deep down they knew Mahaprabhu may be leaving us. He caught them in the net of his ecstasy. And everyone was happier than they ever had been. Then came the day of Makara Sankranti. In the month of Magh or January, when the sun enters into its direction to the north. It's a special holiday. On that morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had blissful kirtan with his associates. Then he went for his last walk through the town of Navadvip, seeing all those places that he performed his pastimes from his very appearance in this world. Remembering all of his devotees and seeing the most magnificent holy of all holy places where sweet loving exchanges took place. He was seeing them for the last time in his life. Then he wandered in his beautiful silken clothes, his most enchanting hair tied in a top knot, decorated with malati flowers, fragrant garlands around his chest, wearing beautiful ornaments. He came to the bank of the Ganga, his favorite bathing ghats. He sat and looked into the current of Ganga Devi. Some of our acharyas explain how he looked into the stream and was remembering the blissful pastimes he had in the Ganga with his friends as a child. How in that same area, how he delivered Jagai and Madhai how he met Keshav Kashmiri and curbed his great pride, and the loving exchanges he had with his devotees, every day, three times a day, bathing in the Ganga with them. Now he was seeing that ghat for the last time. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu returned to his home. And then he performed a supernatural feat. Like an incredible spiritual magnet, without saying a word to anyone, he attracted all of his devotees to come to spend time with him on that evening. His devotees, his friends, they were coming by the hundreds. And each one of them was spontaneously inspired to bring him a fragrant, beautiful garland, and each one came with sandalwood paste to anoint his limbs and other gifts. When they came into Lord Chaitanya's house, they saw him sitting there, smiling, gazing so mercifully, so lovingly upon them. Would it be the last time he ever sees them? They offered their obeisances, bowed down, prostrated. And each one of them personally would offer a garland to Sri Chaitanya. And Lord Gaura Sundar would take that garland off and place it on his devotee. The devotee would then put chandan on the body of the Lord. And the Lord would take that same chandan from the devotee and cover his body with it. Then Lord Gauranga would embrace that devotee very tightly. And the ladies, they were a little distance, but through his gaze, and he was also delivering them garlands, everyone was completely happy. His smile, particularly on that day, his smile pierced so deeply into their hearts and brought them such immense joy. The Lord wanted the last feeling of connection with him to remain forever engraved within the core of their hearts. Then Lord Chaitanya spoke to them. As far as Navadvip Chandra, the son of Sachi, the husband of Vishnupriya, the most beloved resident of Navadvip, this was his last message to his devotees. With a blissful smile, he said to all, "Please, always chant Krishna's names. Always sing about Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's qualities. Constantly think of Krishna. Whenever you speak, try to always speak of Krishna. Chant Krishna's names and glories, nothing else. If you want to show your love for me, then please sing about Krishna. No one else. Whether you're walking or sitting or sleeping or awake or eating your meals whether it's the morning or the afternoon or the evening or the night. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. As he was speaking these words, so simple but powerful, they were going so deeply into the hearts of all of the devotees. And although there were hundreds of devotees assembled, they all gazed at Lord Chaitanya as if they had, that everybody had one eye. They were immersed. And the Lord mystically gazed very affectionately upon each and every one of them. There was a experience of happiness that had no limits. And then Lord Chaitanya ended his message. Now please go back home. Now externally that meant go back home. But really, this was his message, to go back home, back to Godhead, our eternal home. This material world is a foreign land. It's a very strange and difficult place for the eternal soul. The only place that we can really feel the comfort, the protection, the affection and the joy of home is when we return to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya gave this message to all his devotees throughout his career as a Vaishnav, as a preacher in Navadvip. Krishna's your mother, Krishna's your father, Krishna's your real wealth. Krishna's your life. Krishna's your soul. Please remember Krishna. Chant his holy names. This is Lord's instruction to all of us. Please go back home. Krishna's within our hearts. Vrindavan is wherever Krishna is. Within our hearts. By simply following these instructions, in the mood of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, to hear about Krishna, to chant about Krishna, to talk about Krishna, to remember Krishna, is the means by which we could find our eternal home within our own hearts. When the devotees left Sachi Devi's house, they were overflooding with happiness. As they were going back to their residences, they were all crying out, Hari!
Hari!
Harivo! Just remembering those beautiful lotus-like eyes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu gazing upon them, remembering that lovely smile that was brighter than a million suns, smiling upon them, shining upon them. By this time, it was quite late at night. The Kolavecha Sridhar came into the house of the Lord. He brought a pumpkin, one that grew from the thatched roof of his hut. And he presented it with all humility and love to his Lord. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to see Kolavecha Sridhar. And how pleased and grateful he was to receive that pumpkin. It was already late at night, The Lord had already taken his dinner that Sachimata made, and wanting to make Sachimata very happy the last day, what made her more happy than anything is when she ate when he ate her cooking. So he ate a lot, and she spontaneously cooked a lot. But here comes a simple little pumpkin grown from the thatched roof of a hut offered by his devotee. And the Lord began to think very deeply. He's come in the middle of the night with a pumpkin. How could I not eat it? I'm leaving early tomorrow morning. I have to eat this pumpkin. How could I not accept it? It's the love of my devotee. This devotee, Sridhar, ever since I've been a small child, I've been stealing things from him. And he remembered the beautiful pastimes over the years with Sridhar. Little Nimai, when he was even a student, he would go to Simantadweep, where Sridhar, he would just sit on the side of a dusty road, and all he could sell was some materials that come from a few banana trees. He would sell banana leaf plates. Oh, banana leaves. It was just the leaf. You had to make it a plate yourself. And sometimes he would have some bananas or some banana flowers. Or sometimes he would sell the skin of the banana tree. And little Nimai would come and say, this time nobody knew that he was the Supreme Lord Krishna. He would say, Sridhar, how much is this banana? Little boy. Now Sridhar was so honest. He was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. The way he did business, no one can understand. He would stretch to the limits through his intelligence to make as little profit as possible from his customers. So that he could just somehow or other survive. So obviously, he had the best price for bananas in all of Navadvipa. He would say his price. Nimai would say, too much. I will give you half. This means half of practically nothing. He would say, it's a fair price. He said, no, you are cheating me. I will give you half. Sridhar would say, well, if you don't like my price, then go somewhere else. He said, I know a good supplier and I will not give one up. And you are a good supplier. And he'd say, Sridhar, why do you worship Krishna? What is Krishna doing for you? All night you're chanting Hare Krishna. And the materialistic people, they were so upset with Sridhar. They thought him so useless because he was poor. They would say, look at him. He's skinny because he has nothing. They would throw some vegetable at him with no respect whatsoever. Disgraceful. They'd throw a vegetable at him and say, just eat this, fill your stomach, and shut up. How would you like to be treated like that by your neighbors? But Sridhar just didn't care. He would just smile, say, thank you, and carry on chanting the holy names. He loved everyone. He was forgiving to everyone. Why? Because he was beyond this material world. He wasn't caught up in the dualities of honor and dishonor and pleasure and pain and wealth and poverty and all of these things. He was tasting the nectar of the holy names. Why? Trinarapi sunichena taror ibasihishnuna. Amanina manadena kirataniya sadahari. Because he was humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, so forgiving to people who thought him to be a useless disturbance, a nothing. He offered them all respect and expected nothing in return. He was wealthy. Lord Chaitanya said to him, what is Krishna doing for you? Look at your clothes. It's old, so old. There's so many holes in it. You're tying knots to close the holes. And your body is so thin due to lack of food. And your house is just a straw-thatched hut. And you have no furniture. Nothing inside. And Sridhar smiled. Said, I have everything. I have watched the world, how it works. The king has his luxurious clothes and his beautiful home, and the bird just has one set of feathers and lives in a nest of grass. But as far as pleasure and pain, the days pass more or less the same for the king and the bird and everyone else. He was happy from within. Bhagavad Gita tells, what is real intelligence? Not having BA, MA, PhD and all of this stuff. What is real intelligence? Not being street smart and able to somehow or other get your way. Real intelligence is to be illumined within, to find your joy from within. By realizing your eternal identity as a spirit soul. And by acting according to the natural propensity of the soul to serve Krishna with love. This was Sridhar. Lord Chaitanya would say, someday, Sridhar, you're cheating all the people. You're appearing to be like a very poor man, but actually you have great treasures of wealth hidden from all of us. In this way, you are cheating us. Sridhar said, my Nimai, what you're talking, you can search. Whatever you see is what I am and what I have. He said, no, I will expose you. And he did expose him. On the most glorious event in the history of Navadvip, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began the Nam Sankirtan in public, it was the first time he ever took his devotees outside of Srivasa's house to have public kirtan. And he invited all of Navadvip to join him with torches on their procession to the Chand Kazi, who was persecuting the devotees and the common people who followed Lord Chaitanya. That kirtan, there were hundreds and thousands of people. And Lord Chaitanya was in such ecstasy, chanting for the whole world to see, dancing. Sometimes uncontrollably, he would just stop in the middle of the road and turn into Krishna's form, playing his flute. But only the most intimate devotees could understand it and see it. And the Chand Kazi, who was the government power of this whole area, he surrendered with love to Nimai Pandit. And accepted the holy name as his life and soul. After that historical event, Nimai took his devotees to cultivate your Sridhar's little hut. Specifically took them there. The Supreme Lord of the universe. Because he wanted to keep his promise. Outside of the hut was that iron little pot that Sridhar would keep water in. He would drink from the pot. He would wash with the pot. He would use that little water pot for whatever he was doing. That's the only thing he had. It is explained that that pot had so many dents and scratches on it that even the most desperate thief in the world would not even rest his eyes on that pot. But Lord Chaitanya, his beautiful lotus eyes gazed upon that water pot. And intense thirst awakened within Lord Gauranga's heart to drink the water from that pot. That water, Kulavicha Sridhar would wash his own feet with before going in his house. He would drink out of it, everything. Lord Gauranga picked up the pot, and Sridhar was watching from a distance. He said, "No, what are you doing? Don't do that." And the Lord poured the water of that pot into his own mouth. And Kulavicha Sridhar, striking his chest with his hand, said, "Now I am finished," and fell to the ground. And all the devotees understood what was the message of Lord Chaitanya on that day. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that now, for the first time in my life, I have tasted the ecstasies of love for Krishna because I have tasted the water from the pot of Kulavicha Sridhar. What is real wealth? Real wealth is that which brings you real happiness. What is the use of being a millionaire or a billionaire or anything above that if you're not happy? And you're not making others happy. Real wealth is what brings you real happiness and gives you the power to give others real happiness. Kulavicha Sridhar, living in that thatched little hut with his tattered rags as clothes, from the point of view of God, he was more than a trillionaire. He had unlimited wealth because he had humility and devotion. When all the devotees saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu drinking that water from Kulavicha Sridhar's old pot, they began to weep. They were falling on the ground and rolling on the ground. They couldn't believe what Lord Chaitanya was doing. The simplest thing he was seeing as the most priceless. Srila Prabhupada taught us this. Vrindavan is millions of times higher in spiritual experience than even Vaikuntha. But it's so simple. In Vaikuntha, everybody knows they're liberated. In Vaikuntha, everybody knows they're an intimate associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even they have the same bodily features as the Supreme Lord with spiritual bodies. But in Vrindavan, everyone thinks they're ordinary people. The gopis and the gopas, they think themselves very simple, ordinary. But in that simplicity, They have the deepest, most intimate, loving relationship with Krishna. It's the simple things in life that give joy. You may have the best, most expensive car, the most magnificent architectured and furnished home. You may have the latest technologies and cellular phones and computers and other devices. But none of that can bring real happiness. It's the simple things. The simple things that any child could do to have a loving relationship with someone. To give something valuable to someone. To receive someone's affection. On a material platform, this is what brings happiness. On the spiritual platform, when Krishna is the center, this is what awakens the soul. Whether you're Kolavecha Sridhar or whether you're King Pratapa Rudra, we all have the same opportunity at every moment to find the highest bliss in the simple activity of just bowing down, rendering some service. Patram pushpam palam toyam, whether we're offering a diamond crown or whether we're offering a leaf, a flower, or a little water. For Krishna, it's the devotion that matters. And where there's devotion, Krishna gives us that happiness. Spiritual happiness in the path of bhakti is given by Krishna in reciprocation to our desire. Everyone can achieve that highest wealth. By the simple thing of just moving your tongue in a certain way to pronounce the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But still, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu had these discussions with Kolavecha Sridhar, usually they would argue over the price of bananas for 2 hours every day. Now, the husband of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmipati, does he have anything better to do than argue over the price of a banana? For 2 hours every single day. That was the regulation of the Lord, to be with Sridhar, arguing for 2 hours. That was the greatest joy for the Lord, to be with his devotee. Sridhar didn't know he's God. He just thought he's Nimai. But he loved Nimai so much. Sridhar would be looking down the path, the dusty path where he lived, waiting for Nimai. When will he come? He comes every day. Where is he? When? He didn't know who he was. He only knew he loved him. He charmed his heart. And in the end, Nimai would usually just snatch the bananas and snatch the leaves and give him nothing. He said, "Today I'm not giving you anything." And Sridhar would think, "What am I supposed to do? He's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. But he's a Brahmin. Let him have it." All of these thoughts were in Mahaprabhu's heart as he looked at that pumpkin. And he was thinking, "What a devotee is Sridhar. I've never given him anything. Even during Mahaprakash, he wouldn't accept anything from the Lord. All I've done is steal from him every day, and my last day in Navadvip, he's coming to give me something else. He's coming to give me the best thing he has." That pumpkin personified Sridhar's love. Now, pumpkins are not delicacies in any type of cuisine. They're just really ordinary foods. Yes? Nobody has to import pumpkins so much. They grow on your roof. I remember a place I used to live, and we were trying to grow a garden, and it was really difficult because deers were eating it and groundhogs were eating them and weeds were coming, and very difficult to grow anything in this place. But there was a place where we would throw all the garbage, the compost garbage, you know, the natural garbage. And from there, there were always pumpkins growing. We didn't even plant them. They just came. Everywhere we planted, it was so difficult to make it grow. And where we just threw garbage, pumpkins were growing. So here he is, Sarvalokamaheshwaram, that person who is the supreme proprietor of everything that exists, who's the husband of the goddess of fortune. And he's seeing unlimited value in a single pumpkin. That is the Lord of our hearts. He said, I have to eat this. And Sridhar offered his obeisances, gave the pumpkin, and left. Mahaprabhu turned to Sachi Devi and said, please, before I take rest, cook this pumpkin. And right when he said that, another guest came into the house and offered the Lord a gift of some milk. By the Lord's own desire, this is all happening. He said, oh, Mother Sachi, cook the pumpkin in milk with some sugar and make some pumpkin kheer. Sweet rice pumpkin. Sachi Mata very blissfully prepared it for the Lord. The Lord sat down and he ate it. It was his last meal in Navadvip. It was the last time he would eat in that house forever. The last thing that Sachi Mata was going to prepare in that home where he had taken thousands of meals was Sridhar's pumpkin. He spoke to his mother while he was taking it, very affectionately, in such a way that she was blissful, and she even forgot that he was going to leave that night. Then he washed his hands and washed his mouth and went into his bedroom, where he laid down and went into a yogic trance. Nobody suspected what was about to happen. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours before the end of the night, Nimai woke up, took a deep breath, stood up from his bed, and left Vishnupriya peacefully sleeping. Gadadhar and Haridas, they sensed what would be happening. They were sleeping nearby in the house. They immediately got up and Gadadhar said, I will go with you. And Nimai said, no, I will go alone without anyone. That is my desire. While the whole of Navadvip was sleeping, one person remained up all night. And that was Sachi Devi, his mother. Because he knew, she knew that he was going to leave on that morning. She sat right near the door, her heart in the agony of imminent separation. And she looked up, and Nimai was coming out of his room. Sachi Devi knew what was about to happen. My son is going to leave me forever. She was in a crippled state. She could not speak a word. She only cried. Seeing his mother in that state, it was piteous. It melted Nimai's heart, and he sat right in front of her. First he held her hands, then he embraced her. Sachimata protected Nimai with her life and soul. When he was a little baby, she protected him. In every way, 24 hours a day, she worried about him. She lived for him. And when he was just a young boy, Jagannath Mishra left this world, and she had to single-handedly take care of him. Who was going to protect her now? Nimai looked at his mother's eyes, and he spoke. For a long time, all of my life, my dear beloved mother, you have protected me. And it is only because of you that I began to read the scriptures. It's only by your grace, my mother, everything I know about Krishna, all the truths that I teach to others, it was by your loving nourishment and your inspiration. For all that you've done for me, how could I repay you? With very deep emotion, he said to his mother, all the happiness that I ever experienced in my life was due to your blessings. Even in millions of kalpas, that means millions of days of Brahma, I can never repay you. My debt to you is unlimited. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is inconceivable. And he is independent. And by his own ways, he brings people together. And then he takes people apart. My mother, it is by the will of the Lord that I have to leave you. But I promise you, do not be so disturbed. I will come back in 10 days. And then he said, all that you've done for me will forever be remembered within my heart. My mother, you are very dear to me. Again and again, the Lord, with his hand, he put it over his heart. And with choked up emotions, he repeated, "Mother, you are very dear to me." Sachi Devi did not say a word, nor did she move. Only a constant pouring of tears flowed from her eyes, soaking her face, soaking her clothes. She could do nothing but cry. Lord Gauranga then took dust from the lotus feet of his mother and placed that dust on the top of his head, on the beautiful hair that was about to be shaved. Then he circumambulated his mother several times and again repeated, "You are very dear to my heart." Then quickly, without turning back ever again, he left. He went to the bank of the Ganga and jumped in. And with his powerful arms, he swam across the current of the Ganges to the other side. Our Lord, who is in the beautiful, comfortable home of Sachi Devi, with the loving comforts that Vishnu Priya gave him, was now swimming in the ice-cold January waters of the Ganga, heading for a life of renunciation. After swimming across the river, he came out, and in his soaking wet clothes, he ran 25 miles to Katva. Why did he run? Because he did not want to leave a trace for people to follow him. A couple hours later, all the devotees woke up. They took their baths in the Ganga very happily. And the first thing they would do every day after taking their baths was to go to Sachi Mata's house to offer their obeisances and their devotion to Lord Chaitanya. Headed by Srivas Thakur, all the devotees came and they happened to see something that was extremely disturbing. Sachi Mata was sitting outside the house, in front of the door, like an inanimate object. The only thing that moved in her was the constant flow of tears from her eyes. All the devotees approached her, and Srivas asked, "Sachi Devi, is there some disturbance? Why are you outside of your house sitting on the ground so early in the morning?" Sachi was like a statue. She could not say a single word. Everyone was silent. They didn't know what to think. Finally, Sachi somehow or other, choked with emotion, she spoke. She said, "All my fathers, the property of Lord Vishnu belongs to his devotees. This house and everything in it, everything is your property. I have no claim to anything. I am lost. This whole world is like a desert to me. Because Nimai has left. These words. Nimai has left. Crashed down like a thunderbolt into the hearts of all of the devotees. Instantly, every single one of them screamed and fell unconscious. When they came back to consciousness, they were weeping, crying, rolling. They didn't know what to do. All that could be heard is, I will never see his moon-like face again. I cannot live. It is not possible. This world is a miserable hell without Nimai. He was all we had. He was everything. But when they saw Sachidevi's anguish of separation, they put aside their own anguish to somehow or other keep her alive. So all the devotees sat in a circle around Sachimata, and all they could do was cry. They tried to chant the holy names, but their crying was so loud that people from all over Navadvipa were wondering, what is this crying? And something happened in their hearts. They all started running from all directions. Hundreds and thousands of people. The news spread that Nimai Pandit has left us forever to become a sannyasi. Everyone in Navadvip, even the blasphemers, even those who conspired to ruin Nimai's name and even beat him, when they heard that he had left his home to take sannyas for the welfare of humanity, they fell to the ground weeping. The most envious people in Navadvip, who hated Nimai, hated Vaishnavas. When Nimai left, they were saying, that beautiful golden moon of Gauranga has left us. I cannot live. I will lock my doors, go inside my house and light it on fire. I cannot live in this world. What is Navadvip without Nimai Pandit? And for so many years, we have been so offensive. We didn't know who he was. We didn't know why he was here. We are condemned. But now that he's gone, we understand that he's taken our life with him. These are the words coming from the lips of the blasphemers. Yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's strategy had immediate effect. He told his devotees, and he contemplated himself, that now they are seeing me as an ordinary person. They will not receive what I have to give them. But when I take sannyas, they will bow down to me, and then I can give them love of Krishna. The moment the word came out, even before he took sannyas, the fact that he left Navadvip totally transformed even the most materialistic people in Navadvip. It's very meaningful. Because deep down in their hearts, they love Lord Chaitanya. The fact is, deep down in our hearts, everyone loves Krishna. Even the worst criminals, terrorists, dictators, and inhuman criminals within their heart, buried deep down inside, is intimate, sweet love for Krishna and love for every living beings. It's just covered by thick, massive layers of egoistic desires that could turn a pure, loving soul into a monster. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gora chandra bole, kota nitro jayo maya pisa chira kole. When Lord Chaitanya was living in Navadvipa, Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals to us, he would go through the town to the bathing ghats, to the marketplaces, to people's homes with this message. Wake up, sleeping souls. You are sleeping in the lap of Maya, illusion. Love of Krishna is within you. You're sleeping and you're dreaming of all this materialistic identifications and you're implicating yourself in so much karma and illusion. Wake up! Most of Navadvipa did wake up, but those did not. When he took sannyas, it was such a jolt. He had everything. The most beautiful woman in the entire 14 worlds was his wife, and she was sweet, good-natured, and completely accommodating. The most loving mother who would die a million times a moment just to remove one bead of perspiration from his forehead. The most beautiful associates, the most successful career. He had everything. And he left it for the welfare of humanity? That jolt of his taking sannyas woke them up. And when they woke up, that innate love, that innate appreciation for the beauty, the sweetness, and the kindness of Nimai became fully manifest within their hearts. And they too, along with the devotees, were grabbing each other's necks and weeping on each other and rolling in the ground. Lord Gauranga has left Navadvipa forever. When the news came to Sri Adwaita Prabhu, it was unbearable. He said, I will not live. This world is nothing but a dreary void without Lord Chaitanya. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. In the mood of Sri Radha, in the mellow of a devotee, Lord Chaitanya is praying in Shikshastakam that bereft of Govinda, the sight of Govinda, this entire world is a dreary, dark void. Sri Adwaita said, I will not live. If Lord Gauranga has left us forever, I cannot. I am going to drown myself in the Ganga. And if anyone tries to stop me, then I'll go in the middle of the night when you're all sleeping. But I will not live. But every devotee thought the same way. It was too painful to live. Please, don't think that this is just sentimentalism or emotionalism. This is the highest level of ecstatic love. Such love. The devotee said, we will not try to stop you with Adwaita. We will not try to stop you, Adwaitacharya. We're all going with you to the Ganga. And all the devotees, they were all in procession to the Ganga to take their lives. But then everyone heard a mystical voice come from the sky. It said, Advaita and all devotees, please be patient. Lord Gauranga will be with you again in 2 to 4 days. Just gather together and chant Hare Krishna. But do not take your life. He's coming. When the devotees heard this, there was hope. They all sat together and kept each other alive, singing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and chanting his holy name. And what about Vishnupriya? While all the devotees returned to Sachi Devi's house to somehow or other try to console her, she was all alone. She chose to remain all alone in a private room where she laid her body on the ground. She tried with all her might to cry. But she was so absolutely devastated, she couldn't even cry. There was no expression, no release, no relief even. For a long time, she lay there, stunned, until finally, she cried for the rest of her life. Why would the Lord do this to his devotees? Why would Ramchandra banish Sita because of some gossip of a washerman? Why did Krishna leave Vrindavan? Because on the spiritual platform, there's the dynamic of love, which balances between viparlamba and sambhog, union and separation. The joy of union is enhanced unlimitedly due to the hunger of separation. Just like eating food. The more you're hungry, the more you appreciate eating something. If you're really full, you've eaten so much you're sick, and then someone comes with your favorite preparation, will you enjoy it? You just overate so much. You're just, your stomach is aching. You're looking for Dr. Dwarkadish to give you some medicine. And then someone comes with Son Papri from Govardhan. Or one of the cakes from Radha Madhava's bakery. I'm not going to give too many sound effects. Just the smell of it, just the look of it, causes you pain. Yes? But when you're hungry, and somebody brings you what you like the best, you really enjoy it nicely. Necessity is hunger. Viparlamba is that hunger for Krishna, that greed for Krishna. But because Krishna's in our hearts, when we feel separation from Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with his love within. And actually that separation, although it appears on one level to be very painful, it's actually the highest bliss. Because it's such a deep connection with the Lord in love. The more the pain, the more the bliss. Because it's the pain of love. Now, in this world even, what goes deeper in your heart? Happiness or pain? Pain goes really deep. Happiness? When you think back of your childhood, the things that caused you pain are usually the things you remember. Happy things? Goes very deep. The pain of separation from Krishna goes so deep, and the deeper it goes, the more we find Krishna reciprocating with that, with his love. So the highest ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya taught, along with the six Goswamis, is the ecstasy of love and separation. Why did Lord Ram banish Sita? Many ladies especially, they don't like this pastime. It's not fair. What did she do wrong? She was perfect. Why he banished her? Because Ram and Sita wanted to enjoy something what Radha and Krishna enjoy. Love and separation. And the test of love was in the length of separation. Krishna lived in Vrindavan for not even 11 years. Out of 125 years of his life. That means over 110 years he was in Mathura and Dwarka. And only 10 and a half years about he was in Vrindavan. And he was only associating with the young gopis for about 7 years or so. So that's how much time they were with him. And for over 110 years, they were in separation from him. Why would Krishna do that to the most beloved of all of his devotees, Radha and the gopis? In Kurukshetra, during the Ratha Yatra in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching the beauty of the gopis' love. The Ratha Yatra is Radharani and the gopis bringing Krishna in the form of Jagannath back from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. Love and separation. But Krishna told the gopis at that time that I'm always in your hearts. And as much as you're feeling separation from you, I'm feeling separation from you, from your separation from me, and I'm feeling that same separation from you. And in our hearts, we are always united and together. And then when meeting comes, what a fantastic celebration. We cannot understand these things through material perspective. We have to understand through the eyes of the acharyas who teach us the science of pure spiritual love. Vishnupriya and Sachi Devi and all the devotees in Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving them the highest love and separation. And he himself was feeling the same toward them. Sachi Mata, as she was weeping and weeping, she would cry out, "Nimai, Nimai, why did you leave me? Who will cook for you? And who will wash your clothes? And who will make the garlands for your hair? How will you live such a life in the forest as a sannyasi? Come home, come home." And the devotees tried to pacify her somehow or other. Meanwhile, Lord Gauranga arrived in Katwa. He came to the ashram of Keshav Bharati Maharaj. At first, Keshav Bharati Maharaj saw a brilliant light. It looked like the sun was rising right in his ashram. Then he saw a particular personality coming toward him, and he realized that all this light is coming from him. Gauranga Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. And in his ecstasy, he was emitting supernatural spiritual effulgence. And Lord Gauranga fell at the feet of Keshav Bharati in full dandavats, offering prayers. And Keshav Bharati saw him and understood what was happening. Soon after, Nityananda Prabhu arrived, and Mukunda, and Chandrasekhar Acharya. The Lord with folded hands spoke to Keshav Bharati. And he said, "You are a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. You have given your life and your soul, your everything to Krishna. Please, I beg you, give me service to Krishna. I want to be dressed like you. I want to become a sannyasi. So with my body, my words, my life, my every thought can be in the service of Krishna." Keshav Bharati's heart was extremely troubled to see the Lord. When he saw his youthful splendor, 24-year-old, his eyes, his hair, his beauty, and what about his wife and his mother? He was deeply troubled. And Keshav Bharati, he said, actually, before he could say anything, Lord Chaitanya was so blissful with the anticipation of becoming a sannyasi and going to Vrindavan in search for Krishna, that he began to dance. And as he danced, tears were pouring from his eyes. His limbs were trembling. His hairs were standing on end. At one moment, he was perspiring profusely. At another moment, he was unconscious. And the other moment, he was jumping. He was rolling. He was roaring. And then the Lord again came, "Please give me service to Krishna." Keshav Bharati said, "You already love Krishna. I can see with my own eyes. There's no reason for you to take sannyas. There is no one in the entire universe that has love for Krishna like you have. You're in ecstasy. I've never seen such ecstatic symptoms. And you want to take love? You want to take sannyas for love for Krishna? I'm a sannyasi. I know so many sannyasis. We don't have love for Krishna like you. There's no need for you to take sannyas. You already have it all." And Nehemiah said, do not try to trick me. If I had even a spot of love for Krishna, a drop, I would have died in separation. Please give me service to Krishna. Kesha Bharati Maharaj said, but you're so young. And now that I look at you, I cannot give you sannyas. You should learn the ways of the world. And you should cultivate renunciation gradually. And then when you're 50 years old, then we can consider giving you sannyas. The Lord said the human life is so precious. It's the rarest thing in the whole creation, and the rarest thing in the human birth is the association of devotees. Death is not partial to the old. Death could come upon anyone at any age, at any time. Now is the time. At this moment, I cannot wait. My heart is burning. Krishna's calling me. Give me service to Krishna. I want to give my life without any distraction to Krishna. By this time, because it was Makara Sankranti time, many people were bathing in the Ganga. And they came to Keshav Kashmiri's ashram. And they saw the beauty of Nimai. And the word spread throughout the Katva area. And soon hundreds, then thousands, then tens and thousands of people were gathering just to see the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. Because he had never been there before. They had heard so many stories about the great Nimai Pandit, his scholarship, his beauty, his pastimes, and now he had come to Katva. People were crowding into the ashram just to get a single glance of Nimai. And they were so happy to see him. It was the treasure of their life. And then Nimai, in the role of a devotee, he took straw between his teeth, a gesture of total humility. And then he went to each and every person with folded hands and begged them, please allow me to serve you. They had never seen such genuine humility. And as he was saying that, he was crying. Then he began to dance in circles. His dance was so ecstatic that literally every single person who was assembled there, thousands and thousands and thousands, he bathed all of them with the tears of his love. And then they came to understand that his purpose of coming to Katva was to take sannyas. The people were gasping in anguish. No, not possible. Not such a young, beautiful boy like this. When they saw his hair and they thought it would be cut, and they were screaming out loud, who will support his aged mother? Who will support his beautiful widowed wife? He cannot do this. Not possible. They all looked at Keshav Bharati. Forgive me for that one. Keshav Bharati. They said, no, you don't give him sannyas. We consider you the root of this whole problem. If you dare to destroy his family life, if you dare to be the murderer of his mother and his wife and all of his devotees, if you dare to murder our hearts by cutting off his beautiful hair, you will pay the consequences. We will not allow this to happen. We will smash down your whole monastery ashram and we will throw it in the Ganges. and you with it. It's very difficult. Keshav Bharati himself was utterly brokenhearted with the thought of giving sannyas to him. Now, he had thousands of people threatening his life. There was such a commotion. There was so much madness. On one hand, they were in total ecstasy seeing the beauty of Nimai. And on the other hand, they were in the total ecstasy of anger that Keshav Kashmiri would give him sannyas. It was a very, very turbulent episode. And Lord Chaitanya saw it was impossible. People were in so much opposition. Keshav Bharati was saying, well, why are you blaming me? Talk to him. And they tried to reason with him. And he saw it very difficult. So Lord Gauranga turned to Mukunda and said, sing, sing, chant the holy names of Krishna. And with his sweet, beautiful voice, Mukunda Dutt began a kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya danced. How he danced! In so much spiritual love that it enchanted everyone. The kirtan went on for hours and hours and hours, and the singing was so sweet, and Lord Chaitanya was crying out the holy names, and just seeing his dance of devastating love, everyone forgot that he was going to take sannyas. And soon the whole katwa was in ecstasy, like they've never experienced before in their whole lives, chanting the holy names. Gauranga Mahaprabhu danced and chanted all night long and intoxicated everyone until the sun rose. At that time, nobody knew what was happening and nobody knew what wasn't happening. They were unprepared. And Lord Chaitanya called for the barber. The foremost barber in all of Katwa came. Lord Chaitanya was sitting down. Well, first he was standing up and the barber looked at him. And he said, I cannot cut your hair. The most beautiful hair I've ever seen in my life on the most beautiful face in the whole world. I cannot cut it. I don't have the heart to do it. Please, don't make me do it. But Lord Chaitanya looked at him with such love. And he said, please. It is my desire, my strongest will, that you cut my hair. Please. How can you say no to the Lord? The Lord sat down, and the barber sat right in front of him. And he reached up with his razor and came inches to the hair of Lord Chaitanya, and tears were pouring from the barber's eyes, and his hand was trembling, and he just put his hand down. He said, no, I cannot do it. I cannot cut your hair. Please don't make me do this. And all the people who were intoxicated by kirtan throughout the whole night, when they saw the barber's emotion standing there on the verge of cutting the hair, they realized what was happening, but it was too late. At that point, they were all screaming along with the barber. They were threatening the barber.
Don't cut his hair. We agree with you. You are right. Everything you say is true. Cannot be done. What about his mother, his wife, his devotees, and what about him?
The barber turned to Nimai and said, "You're so young. Sannyasa is not for young, beautiful men like you. You're supposed to be enjoying the gifts of the world in devotion to Krishna, not living a harsh, austere life in the forest. I cannot do it." And all the people in the town were crying out, "No, no." So the Lord again jumped up for kirtan and got everyone in ecstasy. Even the barber was in ecstasy. Then he stopped the kirtan and he looked at the barber. The barber said, "I cannot do it." Lord Chaitanya said, "I promise you this. You will never have to cut another person's hair in your life. This will be your last service as a barber. I bless you that you performed this service to me, and my promise is you will never know unhappiness for the rest of your life. You will live in blissful, joyful prosperity. And when you die, you will immediately go back home, back to God, to live eternally in my abode with me in the spiritual world. Cut my hair. It is my desire." The barber said, "But I can't. My hands are trembling. If I try to shave your head, I might cut you. I can understand you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If I cut you, what an offense that will be. And whose feet can I touch to mitigate that offense? Impossible." The Lord said, "You will not cut me. Shave my head." The Lord mesmerized the barber. The Lord made the barber like his puppet to act according to his will. And the barber cut the first hair. When that hair fell to the ground in the bank of the Ganga area, when that hair fell, millions of tears fell along with it from all the devotees and all the residents of Katwa. For every hair that fell to the ground, there were millions of tears falling to the ground. Nityananda, Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, it was unbearable for them. They couldn't watch. They put their cloths over their eyes and fell unconscious on the ground. And they came to it, to consciousness, and looked up and saw the hair falling, and all they could do was wail in tears. People were collapsing, people were crying, but it was too late. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the only person that was happy. Everyone was suffering unbearably. And Lord Chaitanya was smiling in bliss. He was in so much bliss he couldn't control himself. In the middle of the haircut, he told the barber, "Wait a moment," and jumped up into the air and danced and said to Mukunda, "Chant, chant, chant." And everyone's watching this scene. It was heartrending. The devotees are laying on the ground. Everybody's crying, unable to even breathe, and Lord Chaitanya is dancing among them in ecstasy in the middle of his haircut. Part of his head was shaved, part of it was full hairs.
He couldn't control his bliss. It was like such happiness that his heart just exploded. Just like sometimes you're something that rushes you with so much happiness, you just laugh. You can't control it. That happiness just has to come out somehow or other. It has to be released. So it may be released as a smile, or it may be released as tears, or it may be released as laughter. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy, it had to be released. So he jumped in the air, raised his arms, and loudly cried out the holy names. Dancing and dancing and dancing. Then he somehow came to external consciousness, sat in front of the barber and said, continue. How was the barber able to cut Lord Chaitanya's beautiful hair? That hair that totally enchanted the gopis of Vrindavan. To see that beautiful hair, the gopis were willing to renounce everything of the world and meet Krishna. Even Brahma, Shiva, Sukadeva Goswami are crying for the darshan of the beautiful hair of the Supreme Lord. And this barber was cutting it off. But the Lord was controlling him by his love. And as all four directions were filled with the howling, the shrieking, and the crying of seeing his hairs falling to the ground, eventually it was done. And the barber looked at the Lord and said, I will never ever cut another hair. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair is the supreme essence of all sweetness. Beautiful hair. Black like the crow's feathers. Like the finest silk, it would curl around his magnificently sweet moon-like face and cascade down his broad golden shoulders, tied in a little knot on the top, decorated with flowers. There was nothing more beautiful in all of creation than the Lord's hair. And now it was gone. That barber, his hands became so infused with sweetness that for the rest of his life, his occupation was making sweets. And those sweets were very intoxicating. The Lord then went from the ashram of Keshav Bharati to the Ganga to take his bath. And everyone followed him. He took his holy sacred ceremonial bath in the Ganga, dried him, came off in his soaking wet clothes without drying himself, and sat before Keshav Bharati in the ashram. And the Lord prayed, please give me service to Krishna. Keshav Bharati said to him, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are independent, supreme controller of everything. And you as the Jagat Guru come to teach the world.
If it is your wish for me to be your guru, as your servant, I will be your guru and initiate you. Prior to the hair cutting, when Keshav Bharati was trying to convince Lord Chaitanya not to do it, he said, I cannot perform this deed unless you get the permission from your mother and your wife. And Nimai immediately said, all right, I will go. I will get permission. And he started running. Now, according to some of our acharyas, they claim, in some of our scriptures, that Keshav Bharati Maharaj said this because he was planning, while the Lord was going to Navadvip to get permission, he was going to go away and not be here when he gets back. Because he really didn't want to do this. But then he was thinking, as the Lord was running away, how could I... He's the Supreme Lord. I understand who he really is. How could I be duplicitous with him? And besides that, how possibly could anyone resist him? He'll definitely get permission from anyone. He already did. He'll do it again. Come back, Nimai, come back. So now Nimai is standing before him, soaking wet from the bath in the Ganga with the shaved head. And Keshav Bharati says, you are the Supreme Lord. And if this is how you want to teach the world to make me your guru, I am your servant. And then he gave the two pieces of saffron cloth to our beloved Lord Gauranga. The Lord put on the saffron dress of a sannyasi. When the people saw him without his beautiful golden robes, without his jewelry and his garlands, without his luxurious cascading hair, their hearts were broken. But still, in the saffron robes of a sannyasi, he was so unlimitedly beautiful. He charmed their hearts. They fell unconditionally in love with this form of Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi. Then the Lord did something that was wonderful. He said, Gurudev, I want to tell you something privately. And he whispered in his guru's ear. He said, I had a dream. Now this is a secret. Can you all hear? He said, I had a dream. An effulgent being appeared to me and spoke this sannyas mantra into my ear. I want you to hear it and tell me if you think it's good. And then he spoke a brand new sannyas mantra into the ear of Keshava Bharati Maharaj. That mantra through his ears went right to the heart of Keshava Bharati and just conquered his life. He smiled and he said, that's a wonderful mantra. That's the best of all great mantras. The Lord initiated his guru. And then after he was duly initiated, his guru initiated him. He said, I have not heard such a mantra like this. And then Keshav Bharati Maharaj whispered in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ear the same mantra he was just initiated in by his disciple seconds before. And that mantra entered deep into the heart of Lord Gauranga. Keshav Bharati Maharaj gave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his danda and his kamandalu, his sannyas begging bowl. And then he was thinking, what name can I give Gauranga Mahaprabhu? The standard is that I should give him the name Bharati, because he's a disciple of Bharati in my sampradaya. But how could I name him after me? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's beyond all sampradayas. What name could possibly be given to the most merciful, compassionate Lord of the universe when he takes sannyas? He was contemplating in this way. And he prayed. He prayed to the Lord to give him the name that would be perfect. At that moment, the goddess Saraswati appeared on Keshav Bharati Maharaja's tongue and spoke the name that the Lord was meant to be given. He said, because you are spreading love of Krishna, Krishna consciousness, to everyone you meet, because you have advented in this world to spread Krishna consciousness, love of God, all over the world, therefore your name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was very happy with this name. And when he proclaimed this name, everyone in Katwa was so blissful to hear the revelation of the Lord's new name that they all cried out very loudly, Hariva! 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 Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai! Much louder than that. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki! People were intoxicated just hearing that name. At that moment it was revealed to the world. One of Lord Chaitanya's previous classmates, he was the father of Srinivasacharya. I believe his name was Gangadhar Bhattacharya, something like that. He was going to see his father-in-law and he was traveling toward Jajigram and he happened to come through Katwa. And he heard everyone was talking about it. That Nimai Pandit is taking sannyas today, right now. Nimai Pandit, my friend, he's taking sannyas. What? How? He had such mixed feelings. He didn't know what to think. He ran to the place and he arrived just at the moment when Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, your name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And from that point, everyone in all of Katwa, Kantaka Nagar, were saying, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And this man was saying, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And he went back to his village. And people say, where were you? Chaitanya. What's wrong with you? Chaitanya. Would you like prasad? Chaitanya. Do you even know who I am? Chaitanya. That name and that occasion, Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, getting that name, all he could do for weeks is just say Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya 24 hours a day. That is how this event affected people's hearts. Now, our beloved Lord was officially, formally a sannyasi. And the Lord was so happy that after getting the name and the dand and the kamandalu and the saffron dress and receiving the mantra, he said to Mukunda, actually, before I get into that, the Lord ordered Chandrasekhar Acharya to bring all the ingredients and to perform the entire ceremony, all the rituals. This is something we'll never be able to comprehend. Chandrasekhar Acharya was the brother-in-law of Sachi Devi. He was married to Sachi Mata's younger sister. After Jagannath Mishra passed away to Vaikuntha, the only male left in the entire family was Chandrasekhar Acharya. More than anyone else, he helped Sachi to be like Lord Chaitanya's own father. Chandrasekhar, also known as Acharya Ratna, he loved Lord Chaitanya like a father loves a son. He was his uncle. In traditional Bengali families, the uncle and the father are practically the same. In his heart, Acharya Ratna simply wanted to bring Lord Chaitanya home to be with his beloved sister-in-law, Sachi Devi, his mother. But Lord Chaitanya ordered him, you perform the rituals. Such an emotional, spiritual experience that was. A person who had Vatsalya Ras, a person who was his own wife and her sister were so absolutely dear to him. He was performing the ceremony that would disconnect him from Sachi Mata and Navadweep forever. Not long before, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having Nam Kirtan in the house of Acharya Ratna. Sometimes at Srivasangam, sometimes at Chandrasekhar Bhavan. It was there in his house that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in the mood of the goddess of fortune all night long. And the devotees enjoyed watching the Lord dance so much. He said, I will dance until the sun rises in the mood of Radharani, Rukmini, and the goddess of fortune. They were so enthralled. He danced with such emotion like Radharani that Sachi Mata asked Srivas, who is that dancing? And she said, that's your son. And she fainted. They were chanting as he was dancing. And they knew it had to end when the sun rose. Vrindavan Das Thakur explained, when the sun rose that morning, the devotees were so upset that his dance would stop, that all the devotees glanced at the sun in such a way that it appeared by their glance they were going to burn the sun to ashes. That was their feelings. It was from his house that these beautiful leelas. And now he's leaving Navadweep forever. He won't come to my house anymore. His uncle, his aunt, my wife, his mother,
What will happen to our family? He's all we have. He's everything.
But out of his love of everyone, Lord Chaitanya chose him to perform the rituals of sannyas. And it was done.
When everything was concluded, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so filled with happiness. Chant the holy names, Mukunda. Mukunda began to chant. Lord Chaitanya was loudly crying out the holy names. And he was dancing so ecstatically that without even knowing it, he threw his danda in one direction and he threw his kamandalu in another direction. And people were watching. And Keshav Bharati Maharaj was a very sober, elderly sannyasi. And he was a sannyasi in the Shankar Sampradaya. Because in those days, the Shankar Sampradaya was very highly respected. The Vaishnav Sampradaya was not so known to people then. Keshav Bharati Maharaj was a very, very great Vaishnav, but he chose by the Lord's own will to take sannyas in the Shankar Ekadanda Sampradaya to serve the Lord's purpose so that the Lord would get more respect and more doors would open for his mercy to flow in. Now, sannyasis traditionally in the Shankar Sampradaya do not show emotions. So as the Lord was dancing, Keshav Bharati Maharaj was very patiently and soberly watching. Then Lord Gauranga, he approached Keshav Bharati, and in the middle of the kirtan, he embraced him, ecstatically embracing his guru. 24-year-old new sannyasi is embracing in the middle of the kirtan a very elderly senior sannyasi guru. And what happened when he embraced Keshav Bharati Maharaj? With that embrace, he filled his guru with his own love. And suddenly, to everyone's absolute amazement, Keshav Bharati Maharaj raised his arms, roared in ecstasy, and began to dance. And within moments, without even knowing it, he threw his danda and his kamandalu in the forest. And the guru and the disciple, Mahaprabhu and Keshav Bharati Maharaj, were dancing and dancing and dancing together. Keshav Bharati Maharaj's eyes were flooding with tears. His hairs were standing on end. His limbs were trembling. Lord Chaitanya was, all of the ecstatic bodily symptoms of love of God were just erupting all over. And the people of Katwa were watching these two sannyasis dancing together. And everyone forgot all their anxieties. They forgot who they were. All they knew was the guru and disciple are dancing in ecstasy. It was like a tidal wave coming from them that absolutely submerged everyone in an ocean of happiness. Minutes before, they were drowning in an ocean of anguish and separation. Now they were drowning in that ocean of happiness. And everyone seeing, watching, the two swamis dancing, they roared very loudly the holy names. They danced all night long. Then the next morning, Lord Chaitanya fell at his Gurudev's feet with folded palms and said, "Now, please give me permission to go to Vrindavan to find Krishna." And Keshav Bharati Maharaj was so overtaken by the Lord's association. He said, I will go with you to Vrindavan. I renounce everything else of the
So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said,
then let us go, let us go. And then everyone in Katva said, if you're going to Vrindavan, we're all going to Vrindavan. And Keshava Bharati Maharaj led the way. Lord Chaitanya was behind him. Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dutt, Chandrasekhar Acharya, all the other devotees, all the other people. It was an ecstatic kirtan procession through the forest to Vrindavan.
And now we will go to celebrate the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada by offering the lamps of our desire to love and serve them to Sri Radha Madhava Panchatattva Narasingha Dev and Srila Prabhupada and celebrate Damodarastakam. And we will continue with your permission tomorrow.